And please turn with me to Psalm 12, which will be our text this evening. Another psalm by David. There's been a theme through our service so far of truth and the truthfulness of God and the Word and the primacy of God's Word, that we can trust Him, that we can trust it, that God speaks always with truth. But that's not always the case with us, as James points out, that we struggle. In fact, we will always struggle to control our tongues, to control our speech. I've got you to get them, but we're not going to read it straight away. I've entitled my sermon this evening, "There's No Spin with God." There's no spin with God. When I used to work at CSR Wood Panels in Tumut, there was a fitter who worked with me. That is a fitter and turner, for those who don't know the trade terms. Who, whenever I asked him a question for a straightforward answer, would always spin me some story with no indication there was any truth in it. Every time I would speak to him with a question, I'd never know. It would be three or four goes pleading with him to tell me the truth as I'm trying to solve an issue and needed his help. Today we call this loose interaction with truth, particularly for the purpose of making everything sound good, no matter its reliability or integrity, no matter its true benefit. What we call it is spin. It's what all children and teenagers and adults engage in when they get caught for something. The first approach is to spin the situation with whatever level of truth or deception's needed to make the wrong seem less wrong, even necessary for the purpose of getting off. It's what we do, isn't it? Even we who sort of claim our integrity with Christ, are we not at times drawn to go, people are asking for an answer to a situation and we sort of pause thinking, how can we spin this so we're not more condemned by what's going on? Spin circles around the truth, preferring the lie if it benefits. Spin leaves us wondering who we can trust. Who speaks the truth? Who keeps their promises? Who keeps their word? Now we're going to read Psalm 12 in light of that introduction to help us, as we read it, to hear it. To the choir master, according to the Sheminith, a psalm of David. Save, O Lord, for the godly one is gone, for the faithful have vanished from among the children of man. Everyone utters lies to his neighbour. With flattering lips and a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that makes great boasts, those who say, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are with us. Who is master over us? Because the poor are plundered, because the needy groan. I will now arise, says the Lord. I will place him in the safety for which he longs. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in the furnace on the ground, purified seven times. You, O Lord, will keep them. You will guard us from this generation forever. On every side the wicked prowl, as vileness is exalted among the children of man. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these words, and as we consider them this evening, we pray that you will indeed press them upon our hearts, that you will convict us of our own speech, and that you might direct us to the very longing that David has. So as we consider your word, Father, speak into our lives and change us, we pray, for your sake and for your glory. Amen. Well, as we reflect on this psalm, there are three obvious sections with this, with the first being verses 1 to 4, our spinning society. Verses 1 to 4, our spinning society. Now, there's no indication just what period of his life David is referring to here in these verses. Maybe it's the time of Absalom's rebellion. Maybe it was a frequent prayer of David. But what we do know is that David laments over a society, his society, wholly taken over by the lie, by deception and flattery and falsehood. A society like ours. As he begins, David highlights what's missing in his society. As he says, "Save, O Lord, for the godly one is gone, for the faithful have vanished from among the children of man." The godly, the faithful have disappeared. In Hebrew, they are the chassid person, the person who has received chesed, God's loving faithfulness. So who are, the people who are missing are those who respond with loving faithfulness to God. David doesn't seem interested in why or how they are missing, but simply that the faithful people of God have vanished. The salt that preserves against the rot, the light that keeps away the darkness, has disappeared. Maybe they've just stopped speaking truthfully. In David's society, there seems to be nothing to prevent or retard, to put the brakes on and stop the growth of the rotten and decaying speech of his society. This is what was missing then. It's what's missing today. People faithful to God, first of all, in their speech. Leading up to the election, I was listening to an interview between Martin Isles and Zed Seselja. About Australian politics. Zed said the corridors of government need Christians, and Zed had made government and public service his vocation. But as he was speaking, it made me think, in light of this psalm, if there were no Christians in public service, who would influence the speech and conduct of our governments? Like David laments about his society, what would happen if there were no Christians there, or in our workplace, to affect its discourse, or on the playground of our schools to influence children's conversation? Where are the godly, the faithful in our society, laments David. In verse 2, David describes the social trend, and as James reminded us of the power of the tongue, David's concern centres around speech, or the lack of control with it. Speech that is nothing but empty, empty of substance and of foundation. Everyone utters lies to his neighbour, David writes, with flattering lips and a double heart they speak. Our 24-hour news cycle these days fuels this sort of empty spin as presenters and reporters grab at anything to fill in time. An interview with any random passerby to raise unsubstantiated speculation, and any incident for entertainment, just to spin the news on and on and on. What existed in David's day and still today was smooth, flattering speech, flowing from double-hearted deception. And it's not occasional, it's not every now and again, but epidemic. And this is the way people speak with their neighbours. People keep the truth about how hard life is. They keep it to themselves and embellish some other small detail to suggest that everything's going great, even though the neighbours can hear the shouting. It's epidemic in social media, as everyone shares their lives with distorted truth and glowing spin. All the followers are also drawn into the same deceptive spin to keep up appearances with the other people on social media. It's epidemic. Spin, spin, lie, lie. And David says in verse 3, may the Lord cut off those deceivers. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that makes great boasts. Driven by their arrogant philosophy or belief, they think they can overcome anyone with their clever rhetoric. And David prays and asks God to cut them off. I met a young man once who ardently boasted that he could have someone agreeing with him and believing in his position within half an hour of interaction. Well, I don't know what he does to spin what he believes, but he believes wholeheartedly in his ability to convince others. It's a bit like those we say who can sell ice to Eskimos. The same spin brag. We boast in the way that we can twist and use words to convince people of anything. David lived in a society, we live in a society, where much speech is empty, flattering, deceptive, and arrogant. Advertising has this down to a fine art as it uses only the elements of truth that will make their product more favourable, while leaving out other problematic truths. As one commentator recorded, he said one burger manufacturer ran an ad in which a girl complained. So the ad had this girl complaining that McDonald's burgers were 20% smaller, neglecting to inform the viewers that her burgers were also 20% more expensive. And you think, oh, I don't know about you, but I get sick to death of ads. I can't stand them. Why? Because it's always this distorted spin of something just to make you buy something or believe in something with little truth. As we have again experienced with the lead up to this election, politics is full of spin, with politicians on all sides of the issue reworking comments and statements for a favourable outcome or an unfavourable outcome depending on their goal, without any substantial reference to the facts and never quite answering the question. It frustrates me. The media is no different. One article suggested that journalists are trying to fight spin, but when the deadline is looming and you haven't got the grab quote you need, then all that's left is spin. I got to say, the more I go through these quotes and do it, the more depressing it becomes. And you think, oh. But that's what David is trying to press upon us as we go through this. Recently, with the deaths of Shane Warne and Andrew Symons, the sport media falls over itself to spin how amazing these men were, leaving out any questionable elements of their lives to get. And I get tired of it. As one commentator was reflecting, even the church is not free of this sort of spin infection. Quoting from Kent Hughes' life, Reverend Kent Hughes tells of a friend who was a pastor of a small church and one day confided with Kent that his slim salary was inadequate and couldn't continue in ministry without help. Kent immediately wrote a $2,000 check, only to find out later his so-called friend had been spinning this story to many others in the church and had scammed $50,000. Spin was in epidemic proportions in David's society, and it's in ours. And we would join with David in saying, Lord, cut off all empty, flattering, deceptive, and arrogant tongues. Those who say with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are with us, who is master over us? But such a plea causes us to reflect on what we say, how we handle and promote the truth, does it not? It's one thing to point out the failures in all the others, but also to go, but what am I like? And how quickly am I willing to spin truth and circumstance for my own good? Well, in contrast to his society, to his spinning society, David moves in verses 5 to 6 from our spinning to society to our truthful God. Our truthful God. In verse 5, David reminds us again that God is not blind or hidden, but sees and understands perfectly what his people endure. And he says, I will now arise. I will place him in the safety which he longs. I will arise. I will protect. And to this assurance is added the assurance of verse 6 that underscores the purity of God's words, where it says, the word of the Lord, the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified 7 times. Working, indicating that his words have been worked over. Well, God only speaks once and it's true, but with the image of smelting, that all effort is done to purify it. But God's words are pure like this, without dross, impurity, deception, perfectly pure. In contrast to the empty verbiage of verses 1 to 4, when God speaks, he says what he intends to say. It is utterly and absolutely reliable and truthful. Hebrews 1 spoke to this, as our speaking God does so with his greatest clarity through the perfection of his Son. It says in Hebrews 1 that in the past God spoke through the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken through his Son. The clearest words of God come through the incarnation of his Son. And Jesus himself spoke, when he spoke of his words, he says, I speak only what the Father gives me. He speaks what is true and declares himself to be the way, the truth, and the life. All that God has said has come true. Even the incarnation, sacrifice, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ, his Son. Even the forgiveness he promises through Jesus. The Spirit-filled life, as demonstrated at Pentecost. All are true. Unlike society with its twisted double-speak and deception, with God, we have truth speak, that needs no human support or spin to sustain its integrity. It's one of those things, is not, when somebody comes to you and asks you a tricky question about the scriptures, and lest I undermine your integrity, but sometimes we think, how can I spin this to make it sound better? Because the way it reads seems difficult, so how can I spin this to make it sound better? We don't need to support the truth of God's word. Outside Madrid is an Augustinian monastery with an arch that's so flat it frightened the king at the time. And to ensure that the arch didn't collapse and kill somebody, he ordered a column be erected under the middle of it. Even though the architect explained its security, the king insisted, so a column was built. However, guides today take great delight in running a thin, flat strip, 6 millimetre thin, flat strip of wood over the top of the column to reveal that the column never touched the arch. There's a 6 millimeter gap. The arch never needed the column. Nor do God's words need the support of our spin. What he says, he does. What he promises will happen. Who Jesus is, what he did, what he will do, are all true. Our witnessing does not need any additional spin from us. Speak the truth of God's word and let the Spirit do his work. This is fantastic encouragement for us in a society where so much is untruthful and deceptive. We have a God whose word is true and pure. That's what we sang from Psalm 19. We can trust him. We can trust our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's fantastic news for us. But there is a problem, which verses 7 to 8 remind us, and that is our present paradox. We began with our spinning society, then our truthful God, and now in verses 7 to 8 we have our present paradox. You, O Lord, will keep them, that is, you will keep the poor and the needy, you will keep those who are suffering under this deceiving society, you will guard us from this generation forever. On every side the wicked prowl as vileness is exalted among the children of man. There are two opposites here. There is the declaration of God's preservation, but also the reality of the continuing prowling. The ultimate protection of verse 5 is really a future protection, with partial realities through our present times. The ultimate protection will come about when Christ returns, when all deception will be laid bare and truth will reign supreme. Until then, sadly, like all sin, we live with the free-strutting arrogance of the wicked, with their empty, flattering and deceptive words, who, like in verse 4, claim that because of the way they speak, nothing can touch them. The only way we will persevere is if the truth of God's word is our constant food and water. We need to be Psalm 1 people, planted by streams of living water, who delight in the law of God and meditate on it day and night, so that its truth permeates our lives, so that we are godly, faithful people in our society, people of truth, speaking truth, embodying truth, even as the wicked continue to prowl and their vileness against among the children of men continues to perpetrate. We live in a paradox, a now and not yet, but we need to be faithful. We need to be godly, faithful people, trusting in our true and faithful God. Because of sin, the influence of Satan, the father of lies, our world, like David, suffers from an epidemic of spin. Media, politics, advertising. Unless I get myself in trouble, I was talking with somebody the other night about the school system and the final mark that students get, your ATAR. And I think ever since my children were at school, I think ATAR is like the spin of smoke and mirrors by the education department, because who can know just how it comes about? You end up, and everybody at the end is supposed to be happy. You know, people who feel like they're not doing so well seem to be elevated, and other people seem to lose, but everybody seems to be mashed together at a nice even standard, and I go, oh, wow. Even when my younger son was finishing school and I went to the explanation of it, I thought, is this just academic spin? We all sat there befuddled by what it actually means. Maybe I'll get an education after the service by you educators about what the ATAR system is. But spin is all around us. This year will be full of spin. Next year will be no different. But thankfully, with God, with Jesus, there is no spin, only truth, and in him we can depend. The remedy to the wicked speech of our world will not come completely until Jesus returns. So in the meantime, don't trust in your ability with words, trust in God's. Be truthful, faithful, and live out in word and deed the truthfulness of God's word and will for his praise and glory. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are a true and faithful God. That we need to confess, Father, that often truth or the lack of truth or our circumventing of the truth, our propensity to spin things for our own good, is a failing that we have. So forgive us, Father. We do need to explain your truth clearly to others. We do need to speak it truthfully. But save us from trying to spin it so that they like it. Help us to make sure we speak as you want us to and be faithful as you call us to be. Father, we thank you that you are the one true and only true speaking God of all the universe. Jesus is our only one true truth-speaking Saviour. Your Spirit is the only Spirit that promotes your truth in us. So, Father, help us to give our lives to you in this, being godly and faithful people in your world. Father, promote your truth, we pray, and use us. In Jesus' name, amen.